You know, there's a lot of people who are very critical about the Bible. And there's a lot of people that look at the Bible and say, well, how can that thing? It's just a group of men writing or some women mixed in and all this kind of stuff. But I want you to look at something with me today from the book of Isaiah. Then we're going to John and give you the real purpose for Christ coming. Because sometimes we miss it. There's two purposes he came. And we're just going to talk a couple minutes. Just bear with me. But turn with me first to Isaiah chapter 7. And please bring your Bibles to church. Jason, do we have 7:14? When we think of Christmas, understand something, that people who are not living for God want to make it secularized. The secularization of Christmas is a main goal, and Easter is a main goal of some people. 700 years ago, this was prophesied. Therefore, the Lord himself will give you a sign, and behold, a virgin shall conceive and bear a son, and she shall call his name Emmanuel. Butter and honey he shall not eat when he knoweth to refuse evil and choose good. 700 years before it actually happened, it was prophesied. That a virgin would bear a son. Now, I want you to think from today to 700 years from now, and I want you to tell something that's going to happen. And I want you to mark it down and document it so people can get it. That a prophecy. Jim prophesied that he won't be here. I'm with you, buddy. Go with me to chapter 9. Isaiah chapter 9, verse number 6. Chapter 9 and verse number 6. For unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given, the government, say government, shall be upon his shoulder. His name shall be called Wonderful, Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. Next one, please. And of the increase of his government and of the peace there shall be no end. There's a permanent kingdom established with Jesus. And upon the throne of David, upon his kingdom to establish it, and uphold it with justice, with righteousness, and henceforth forever. The zeal of Jehovah of hosts will perform this, and the Lord sent a word to Jacob, and he had laid it upon Israel. That wasn't supposed to be there. I want to tell you why all this happened. And I know you're going to look at me and say, we know that, but do we really know it? How many of you had tremendous fathers? If you're sitting by him, you better raise your hand. How many of us understand that one of the primary reasons that Christ came was to show us the heart of his Father? John chapter 14, 9, 10, and 11. John chapter 14, verses 9, 10, and 11. In verse number 8, Philip comes to him after he says, I am the way, the truth, and the life, and no man comes to the Father but by me. And Philip says, Jesus, why don't you just show us the Father so we can basically know him? And Jesus said to him, have I been so long a time with you, and dost thou not know me, Philip? He that has seen me has seen the Father. How sayest thou, show us the Father? Believest thou not that I am in the Father, and the Father in me? The words that I say unto you, I speak not of myself, but the Father abiding in me doeth his works. You know, we come to the Father through the name of Jesus. But have we really stopped to understand that when you see Jesus, he's the identical fingerprint of his Father? You need to understand that. Because sometimes if we've been in abusive families, if we've been in places where things just don't go, where you were not the favorite child of your parents, where things were going wrong, and we begin to think of the Father, we stop. And we don't go any deeper in that relationship with the Father because we're not sure how he's going to treat us. And we come to a place, especially at Christmas time, when the love of the Father on the earthly sense needs to be expressed to the family. And they understand how much the Father cares and how much the Father loves. But there are people that don't realize that Jesus was the perfect imprint of the Father. And Jesus never came to hurt anyone. Jesus never came to abuse anyone. Jesus never came to demand his place in society. He came as a representative, the perfect representative of the Father, to let us know that the Father did not adopt us to bring us back into bondage. He adopted us that we could cry, Daddy! And why do we cry, Daddy? And why do we jump in his arms? Because he loves you.
Amen.
Amazingly. Hebrews chapter 2, chapter 1, verse 1 through 3. Hebrews chapter 1, verses 1 through 3. And Paul is identifying Jesus with the Father. And it's pretty amazing. It's pretty amazing. God, having in old time spoken of the fathers in the prophets by divers portions and divers manners, hath at the end of these days spoken us in his Son, whom he appointed heir of all things, through whom he made the world. There should be one more. Who being the, what in the world? How in the world? Jason, how do you pronounce that? We'll go back to who being the brightness of his glory and the express image of his person, when he had sacrificed himself, sat down at the right hand of the Father. Okay. He I don't even know what F-U is. Who he reflects the glory of God and bears the very stamp of his nature, upholding the universe by the word of his power. When he had made purifications for sin, he sat down at the right hand of majesty on high. When Jesus said something, I want you to hear this. When Jesus said something, it came from his Father. Jesus said in John 5:19, I believe it is, I look at my notes, but I think it is. In John 5:19, yes, John 5:19, we can find that. Now you guys got to work a little bit back there beside drinking coffee and eating candy. In John 5:19, he says, the works that I do is because I've seen my Father do them. Jesus said, truly I say to you, the Son can do nothing of his own accord, but only what he sees the Father doing. The Father doing. For whatever he does, the Son does likewise. Now let's look at this. How many of you were raised with just a mother? I'm not just minimizing that. Anybody raised with just basically a mother? That is amazing. Yeah, okay. Some are nodding their heads. Something was missing. Something was missing in the home. Jesus is absolutely marvelous and wonderful, but he didn't come to represent himself. He came as a representation of his Father. He came so that when you and I have a relationship with him, we have a relationship with the Father. And we need to realize that. Jesus looked at Philip and said, the Father and I are one. It doesn't mean they're the same person, personality. When Jesus was on the cross, he cried, my God, why have you forsaken me? Jesus didn't go in the wilderness and pray to himself. And so he came that you and I may know the Father's heart and understand that the Father wants us with him. But right now, the Father wants fellowship with us. And we come to a place of recognizing that. Secondly, and I'm going to be done, Jesus absolutely came to destroy the works of the devil. Yes, amen. Hebrews chapter 2, I think it's 13 and 14, but I'll check. 14 and 15, Jason. I want you to see this. And you may say, Pastor, why do you always sudden start using that? Because it emphasizes what's being said in the Word of God. That's why I have a toy to play with. Hebrews chapter 2, 14 and 15. There's the one Jesus said, the Son can do nothing of himself, but what he seeth he, the Father doing, for whatever he doeth, the Son also doeth. And verse 15, when you get to it, Jason. Since the children are sharers in the flesh and blood, he also himself in a manner partook the same, that through death he might bring to naught him that hath power of death, that is the devil. And that he might deliver all them who through the fear of death all their lifetime was subject to bondage. Paul Harvey used to tell a story, and if you've been here around a while, you know the story. How this farmer went out one night during a storm. His wife had gone to a Christmas Eve service. The man was an agnostic, didn't want anything to do with God. And he knew a storm was coming. But as he saw the clouds building and the things going on, he saw a flock of birds out in front of his granary that were going to be wiped out by the storm if he didn't give them some shelter. And so he went and opened the granary doors and tried to shoo the birds in. Well, you know what happened. They flew here, they flew there, they flew everywhere. And it was hopeless as the snow started coming and as the wind started blowing. He said, this is hopeless, I can't do it. And so he shut the doors and he walked back to the house. As he was walking back to the house, something clicked. He said, if I would become a bird, I could get their attention and lead them into the granary. And then something happened. Came a revelation of why Jesus came to earth to get our attention. Jesus came not only to get our attention and give us a relationship with the Father, but he came to break the controls that the devil had over people's lives and to set them free. He came, and there are so many people. And if we could just get a place and tell everybody in this region that you don't have to fear dying. Because right there it talked about the fact that the fear of death. People get a pain or they have something going on and they use the C word or they have something else happening and they're doing all kinds of things and they're buying all kinds of diets and they're going on all different kinds of programs. Because basically in my life I only met one person who wants to die. Just wants to die. But most people want to live. How many of you have ever been with somebody when they died? You know the struggle. You know that gasp for air. And that's not something that we even talk about, but that was put in you by God to live. Not to pack up your tent and say, I just want to get out of here and I'm going to wait till Jesus comes and I'm going to have... God had a purpose for you. Look at 1 John 3:8, Jason, and I'll talk while you find that. Jesus, the Father, and the Holy Spirit don't want you to live your life in any kind of fear. Reverence for God, yes. But not being afraid of God, not being afraid of the Father, not being afraid of anything. But coming to a place where you realize that Jesus Christ came to break the bondage and the thoughts and the words that coincide with death. That when you go to bed at night, you can put your head on your pillow and you can close your eyes and you know if something happens, well, praise God. Yesterday morning, I'd gladly trade Sisseton for heaven. Went to start my car, it didn't start. Came to church and the doors were froze. Went in the bathroom, lights burned out. You want me to continue? It was all morning. And so I sat down and I said, I'm not going to exercise. I'm going to get in the Bible. I'm going to talk to God. And I did. I went home and Big Dave came over and sat on my hood. And it opened. He pounded on the hood. I couldn't get it open to jump it. Put jumper cables on and it started. Okay, so one problem gone. I took a knife and I learned from Lance and I broke into the church. I got this door open and I went around and got the little knife and put it in the little thing and put the little clicker thing back in and shoved it open and got WD-40 and gave it a WD-40 bath and it worked. I got two down. On and on and on. But when I laid my head on the pillow last night, it was good. It was good. We get all tied up in temporary things that eventually aren't going to matter. And God is saying this. My little children, that no one lead you astray. He that doeth righteousness is righteous, even as he is righteous. He that does sin is of the devil, for the devil sinneth from the beginning to this end. The Son of Man, the Son of God, was manifested that he might destroy the works of the devil. 2 Timothy 1:10 says he came to abolish death. In us, the bondage of Satan that was in us, the things of the devil that works in us, because God loves you so much, he wants you free. He wants you free. And so as you leave here this morning, there's something we need to understand, and it's kind of a term that we use and we don't even really pay attention for it, but I want you to know something. God has your back. God has your front. God has each side. God's all around you. And Jesus came to let you know that. I was listening to someone a while back. It wasn't even a preacher, but he had a good point that's good for Christians to know. And that is this. The man was talking about the fact that the enemy was before him, the enemy was behind him, the enemy was on each side of him, and his statement was, I have the enemy surrounded. I'm okay. God has you surrounded. No matter what your life has been and no matter what's going on, how many of you are still breathing? Amen. Take a deep breath so you know for sure. As long as you're breathing, you have all kinds of hope. Amen. Don't go back to what happened. Don't go back to what you did. Don't go back to the past. Live today in the glory and the presence of Jesus Christ and walk this life out. You can't lose in Christ. You can't do it. And I believe with all my heart, God not only has a glorious future for us, He has a glorious today for us.
Yes, that's right.
And it's wonderful.